I am excited about bringing the word. God has been so faithful to me as I've been going through this journey, and he's been giving me things. And like in the middle of the night, I'm like waking up, and I can't sleep now without a pad of paper by my nightstand. And my wife was making fun of me. She's like, "What are you doing? You know, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I got to get this down. I got to write this down. I got to get it." And it's awesome. You know, when you hear from God, it'll change you. I mean, it starts. We talked about last week with surrender, but when you hear from Him, there's no other sound, no other voice like it. It is deafening. Amen. To you. So, I want to give the opening scripture for what we're going to go through today. And it's in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And it said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I just pray that you have your will and your way done today, Lord, that your Spirit speak through me, Lord. I am just a vessel. Use me, Lord. Let the congregation open their hearts to receive the message. There is a message here for each and every person if they're willing to receive it. Change their hearts, change their lives forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Identity theft. Are you a victim? That is my title. And that was one that God gave me in the middle of the night. And what is that? What are we going to talk about? We're not going to talk about computer hacking. We're going to talk about the very first form of identity theft and when it happened. So in Genesis chapter 3, and I'm just going to read a little bit. I'm not going to read all of Genesis here, but in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Identity theft happened in the garden. Man lost his identity. What God had created him for, his purpose, who he was, he lost it all. When he partook of the fruit, he disobeyed God. And that's what criminals do. What lies are you being told? What lies are you believing? Criminals deceive someone. With identity theft, they deceive someone. They get a password. They get control of who they are, and they steal that identity. They become that person. They take that. They take from them. That's what Satan did in the garden. Man had the ability, had dominion over the world. He gave that up. He gave it to Satan. He handed it over. So identity theft has been around since the garden. It's not something new. It says it's the fastest growing crime in America. It happened years ago, folks. Years ago. We have an identity. People who don't know Christ do not. They don't know their identity. We who are saved have an identity. Satan is the prince of this world. He wants to tell you who you are. The world wants to tell you who you are. Your identity is not your job. It's not your academic level. It's not your spouse. Your identity, mom, was not dad. You have an identity. Yes. Your wealth is not your identity. The type of car you drive. Your social media status is not you. The job you do, Joe, that's not you. The press, the TV, politics, they all want to tell you who you are. Who you are, your affiliations, it's nothing. It's temporal. Everything I just talked about is temporary. It can and it will be gone. I've seen divorces in my line of work that I do. I've seen where divorces have occurred. People have lost their identity. They were rooted. Their rooting was not in Christ. Their rooting was in their spouse. And when it all came crashing down, they had nothing. They had nothing. It was taken away from them. A loss of a loved one. We spent the better part of this week ministering to mom, uplifting her. She didn't know where do I go? What do I do? You have purpose. You have a race that is set before you. If someone took it all from you, so if you were in prison tomorrow, who would you be? If all your identity, everything you have, every possession you have was gone, who are you? Who are you? Think about that. If someone came into your life tomorrow and took it all from you, took your loved one, think about Job. He lost it all. All of it. Family, health, wealth, all of it gone. Yet he was faithful. You see, we were once foolish and we were lost like the world. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 7, because we're going to get into a lot of scripture. Stay in the word. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we are justified by Him. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And now we go over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. It says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We are not of this world. Amen. We are different. We've been redeemed. We are to be doing God's will, God's way. We are supposed to live holy unto Him. I get it now. I get it. I've gotten it. It's got a hold of me. The root. It's true. It's real. This gospel's real. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father. It's of this world. And the world passes away, and so the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Satan wants your attention on these things, guys. He wants you to focus on where you're at in life. What do you have? How am I keeping up with everyone else? They're traps. You put your faith and confidence in things of this world rather than being anchored in the one who conquered it all, anchored in Him. We who have been redeemed, we have an identity. It's an eternal identity. Do you know the Father's love? I have experienced the Father's love in the last 2 weeks like I've never experienced before. It has encompassed me so much that I sent an email last night to someone who I harbored bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness for years. I was hurt, and I thought my family was hurt, but that's changed.
Hallelujah.
God has changed my heart, and I wrote this person, and I said, I'm sorry for harboring this. I prayed to God to forgive me for harboring it. I asked the person to forgive me, and I said that God's love, I've experienced God's love in a way that I've never experienced before. It's real. And you knew that love, and you can have that love again. Just give it all to Him. Surrender to Him. Live your life. Your life, if you live your life for Him, it'll be changed forevermore. Amen. And I'm not talking about half-heartedly. I'm talking about giving it all. All. Who are you in Christ Jesus? That's what we're going to talk about. One, you are family. You are an heir of His kingdom. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And let's encompass everybody here, and daughters of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "You are a chosen generation. You are royal priesthood. You are royal and you are priests. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." You were in the dark. You are now in the light. What happens when you have light? You are illuminated. You see. You now see the path before you because the Holy Spirit directs you. People looked at my sister at the wake as she's sharing with what God has been doing in our life and in her life specifically. They can't relate. People in the world cannot relate. When you've experienced God's love, they don't get it. "I'm sorry for your loss." You know, people who don't know Christ. Yes, I mean, that's nice, but it's empty. There's no life in it. It's just, people don't know how to deal with it. But we who are in Christ Jesus know differently. There is so much more than this temporal life, temporary. You are here for just a small period of time. A blink of an eye is like 1,000 years to God. In addition to being family and heirs of the kingdom, we are conquerors in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, I love this. I mean, this is when I started doing this, I'm like putting together these scriptures, and I'm writing stuff down as God's given to me. And then as I'm typing this stuff up, and Jesse was there, and I'm like, I don't understand where this is going. And I'm writing this stuff down. And then I stopped and I prayed, and then all of a sudden it just structure started coming before me. It's like boom, boom, boom. And God directed my path. And that's what we have to do. We have to get out of the way. So in Romans 8, 35 through 39, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You guys have access to this love. If you don't know it, you're going to have an opportunity to know it. Think about that scripture, guys. Think about in Romans chapter 8. What do you think the world does when that above happens? What do you think happens to them? Do they implode? Are they corrupted? Would they steal and turn to substances, drugs, alcohol? What are those? That's what the world, that's how they deal with. Think about famine, peril, sword, all those things that would come towards you. How would people you know, how would they deal with that? Think about 1929 and the stock market crash, Steve. Your history. What happened? People lost it all. All of it. Gone. That's what I was talking about before. You could lose it all like that. They committed suicide. Suicides were at an all-time rate because they couldn't deal with it. They had no identity. Their identity was in things. Things of this world that disappeared. Dad's identity, facing death in front of him, His identity was revealed. It was shown. My dad's love for the Lord came out. His identity was in Christ's. He had a peace about what was going on. Though he wanted to stay with his family, he had a peace. He said in his 10-minute sermon to us on Tuesday night, he said, there's a time when a door is opened and that you have to walk through it. That time is now for me. But press on in the faith. Do everything in love, the love of God that I've experienced. If you don't do it in love, you got nothing. It was powerful. There was peace in that room. There was power that I've never experienced. That whole week, there was power. And then there was hope. Hope for tomorrow, hope for us, that we press on every day, that we're equipped every day. There is hope for each and every one of you. It doesn't matter what comes your way. We're conquerors in Christ. Amen. Nothing can separate you from that love. Nothing. Nothing. I hope you guys understand it. I hope the Spirit is speaking to your hearts, because it's got a hold of me. You guys knew me. I mean, a lot of you guys knew me, but you don't know me. You don't know me now. I'm different. I'm changed. I've let God change me. That's what you guys have to do. We are citizens. This is the third piece. We are citizens of heaven. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In Philippians chapter 3, 18 through 20, I think verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. I like it in the New Living Translation. It says, for I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many of those whose conduct shows that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we sang it before. We eagerly await him for return as our Savior. That's a change in thought, guys. Life here, yes, live your life, but looking for that promise ahead, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to take his bride. I was talking to a dear brother, he's a pastor's son, Paul, yesterday. And he had been following up with me about what had gone with Dad. And he lost his mom a few years ago. He's a preacher's son as well. So we all too know well like what we've been dealing with. And he's been dealing with some of the same things that I've been dealing with about the calling on my life. And I'm just like, didn't want anything to do with it. But he talked about his mom and her boldness. She dealt with cancer as well. And she just said, you know, I'm tired. I want to be with my Savior. When your identity is rooted in Christ, you have a holy boldness. You receive that. You have a confidence of knowing whose you are and where your future is. Your future is not in earth. Your future is not here. Your future is not wrapped up in retirement. You're a citizen of heaven. That's your future. Royalty, exactly. And going one step beyond that, as citizens, you become ambassadors. How awesome is that? Do you guys know what an ambassador is? It's an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. This earth is foreign to us now who are in Christ. A person who acts as a representative or promoter of a specified activity. You are promoters of the gospel. A love, an experience that you have had, you are to share with others. He commands us to do this. Amen. I love this. I was going through the definitions, and it said, and you become an authorized messenger. You are an authorized messenger of the kingdom of God. How awesome is that? Think about John Kerry, Secretary of State. He's an ambassador, right? Ambassador of the United States. He's nothing compared to you guys. Nothing. You're an ambassador of heaven, the kingdom of God. Yes, sir. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to that which God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God had beseeched you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was our substitute on the cross. He died for you. Kathy, he died for you. Everyone here, individually. If you had no one else here on earth, he died for you. He would have done it just for one. Ephesians chapter 6, 19 through 20. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That was Paul. He had a holy boldness. There's boldness when you realize your identity. You have an identity. Steve, your first year in teaching versus where you're at now, do you have a boldness now? Do you have more of a boldness, a confidence in what you're doing? You guys get in the Word and you let that direct you, you will have a boldness. I went through the motions for the last 30-something years of my life. I've gone through the motions. I took this half-heartedly. This is the manuscript. This is the direction. Amen. Get into it.
Yes.
There. I mean, as I read this stuff, it's like it uplifts you. It lifts you up. In Matthew chapter 5, this is the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
He's given us in chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. We're talking about who you are, your identity. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle. You don't put it under a bushel. You put it on a candlestick. It gives light unto all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are to glorify God in all that we do.
Amen.
The world is lost. People go about their life every day. The expectation of retirement, I'm a good person, I've done these good things. They don't know the love of God. They just know this is how life's supposed to be. Take a roll with the punches. Mm-mm. Nope. It's a dark world. We live in a dark world. Can you watch the news? It's a dark world. There's so much going on, guys. So much going on. You could bring peace to people you come in contact with every day. What are you doing to reach those people? There's people here the Spirit of God has given charge over. Even in the past week, and you didn't obey, you had the ability to speak life into that person. I'm not saying you just led them to salvation, but I'm just saying speaking life, the love of God that you received, you had the ability to touch somebody. What are you doing with your time, guys? Are you actively looking to tell people about Jesus and this love that you've gotten that's so extraordinary? It's so unordinary. It's not a secret club.
No.
Be obedient to the Spirit of God. When you listen, when you deafen out all the things that occupy your eyes, your ears, God will speak to your heart and tell you what you need to be doing.
Amen.
In closing, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore shamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be a partaker of the gospel. Share it. You are not given a spirit of fear, but you have been given power and love in that gospel, that love that just poured out on the cross. At Dad's sermon at the funeral, it was salvation that Pastor Don talked about. It was a gift freely given to each and every one of you, but you have to take it. You have to receive it, and then you have to embrace it. God's grace is his empowering presence for you to do and be what you cannot do and be on your own. You can be the light of the world. You can be a light to that world that is so dark. Be a partaker. Be a partaker. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. You guys got a Bible in front of you? New Testament. I just want to read this again. I think I used this as a scripture in last week's sermon. But in chapter 3, keep playing, Brian. That's fine. You got a page number, Brother Ed? Anybody? 1258, okay. Now I want you guys to think about yourself. Paul was talking here. Think about yourself. Put it in context to you. So you're going to say, for this cause, Jeff bows his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant me according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I be rooted and grounded in love, that I can comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height of this love, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You've received that love. How many of you understand your identity now? Do you get it? If you don't get it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Ask God to reveal it to you. He will. You guys would please bow your heads. God, I've given you full authority to speak through me, Lord. I pray that the hearts have been changed. How many of you, with your heads bowed, will stand and commit to no longer letting the world dictate your identity? How many of you will accept your true calling, your true identity in the Lord? Raise your hand. Yes. Today is a day of change. A change forevermore in your life. If you embrace what we're talking about today, you will be changed. I promise you. You will seek the lost. You will love people back to life because Jesus first loved you. If you guys would please stand. And we're just going to pray. Hands lifted up. Act of surrender. Joe, it's a tough one, I know. Surrender, buddy. It's okay. No one's judging you. There you go. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I want you guys to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I accept my identity in you. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. I promise to seek those who need to know you. I promise to share the love of Christ. I will let my light shine from this day forward. I give this all to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. You are dismissed.